Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, Wednesday, 14th of November. This is a show about stock market investing in the millennial age. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. This is a live trading desk. I'm managing real capital, both my own and that of individual investors. And what I like to say is this is not your dad's stock market, certainly not your granddad's. This is a market where you have information coming at you from all sides. A lot of that information is fake, false information to get you off your game. There are algorithms designed to take advantage of your fear, greed, instincts. And what you need in the millennial age are tools to combat that type of behavior. Look, your dad didn't even have email. There was no such thing as the internet. Twitter? What was Twitter? Back then, it was much easier to figure out the economic cycle, put capital to work. And investing's never easy, but I'm just saying it was easier back then. Since 2008, we have one overriding fact that drives the market higher or lower. And that's whether or not central banks are adding liquidity. Now, you can say that's been true since the dawn of time, and I would agree with you. But since the dawn of time, we went through normal cycles. And so it was easier to figure out where the market was headed based on cycles and all those things they teach you in textbooks at college. Since 2008, the world has changed. The market has changed. The hand of the central banks are bigger than ever, and you don't know when they're moving. Look, in your dad's stock market, it would have been absolutely sacrilege for a central bank to buy equities. Unheard of. Completely illegal is the wrong word, maybe, but thought of as illegal. There's no way the Fed can do that. The Fed can raise rates or lower rates. That's it. Now we have the Fed buying all types of assets, and central banks around the world are completely off their rocker. Places like Japan, China, they just use the printing press to print worthless pieces of paper called currency and buy equity indexes. And we've had that for a decade since the financial crisis. Now we're going into a different type of scenario. But during that decade, anybody with a brain when it came to investing, anyone with a brain has been underperforming the market. This is why so many hedge funds have gone out of business. Professional money managers who, quote, hedge risk have been blown out of the business, and a tremendous amount of capital has been forced into passive investment activities because of the spoon feeding of stock market performance due to central bank intervention. And the real danger in the market today is that that spoon feeding is being taken away. Chairman Powell is on a march to raise rates here at the Fed and reduce liquidity. And until that process stops, you have a very different market environment. Just look at your 401k, go look at your personal portfolio in 2018. You certainly haven't made any money, and chances are you might be losing a lot of money. Look, the number one stock in the market is probably Amazon, and it dropped 20%+ in a month. That's a bear market for the leading stock in the stock market. The world has changed, guys. You got to get on board with it. You need tools to protect your capital first. That's why I call this the Armor Report, Algorithmic Risk Management Research. Risk management research. That's the number one tool in the millennial market to creating alpha, to protecting net worth, and still capturing upside. And you're going to need it now more than ever, because the Fed doesn't have your back. There are so many guys out there that think they're brilliant because they've made money in the last decade, and they don't realize that the reason they made money is not because they picked out a great investment idea or blah, blah, blah. It's because the Fed and central banks around the world were pumping capital into the system. And now, You might have outperformed the markets because you bought Amazon and you were right about that, right? You said, hey, this is going to be a big story. Maybe you bought Netflix, right? And these stocks dramatically outperformed. But my point is, the rising tide was rising all boats, and it was muting the mistakes you were making. Okay, that tide's going out now, and the mistakes that you are making right now are being amplified. And the only way to combat that is to use millennial tools to protect yourself. And the number one tool we use are algorithms. And this show, every day, 12 o'clock, I come on and I try to help you understand the world we live in today and share with you information that I'm using to manage my own assets. Algorithmic information using proprietary algorithms that I've created. This has been a lifelong pursuit of me. I've been working on algorithms in one form or another since 1993. I'm ready for this. Are you? Are you ready for this? Are you still closing your eyes thinking, hey, if I just buy and hold, everything will be okay because the government always bails me out? If you're not careful right now, the decade rally that's increased your net worth could reduce your net worth by over 50% in a 6 to 9 month window. And all that hard work that you thought you were so smart about doing will be wiped out in a very short period of time. You don't believe me? Just look at 2008. Everything looked great in 2007. You ran into a brick wall. If you don't have a tool to manage your risk, then all the effort and hard work you put in the last 10 years is going to be wiped out in a very short period of time. I'm trying to help you out in this show every day, 12 o'clock. And so I start by looking at the top five indexes as our guide for whether or not we should have risk on or risk off. Let's do a quick recap. The 24th of September, I was talking to you on this podcast saying start to protect your capital. We have a risk off on the mid caps and the small caps. Those are always the canary in the coal mine with the least amount of institutional support, so that when the markets start to go down, it starts there. I hope you were listening. It's not to say we don't lose a little bit of money in October. We do, but we lose a lot less than the market. We're not trying to top tick the market. We're trying to manage our risk. So we give a little bit back in October. The market goes down a lot. Now we start building in alpha in our performance. And now we have cash as the market goes lower. And now's the time to do research and homework so you know where you want to put that cash when we get the next risk on opportunity. And so when we had a new risk on window at the end of October, I did say to you on this call, be careful with this entry point. Statistically speaking, the first risk on entry point after a dramatic sell-off is a weak entry point. So depending on how aggressive you want to be, figure out, are you conservative, are you kind of moderate, or are you aggressive? Okay? And put some capital to work just in case this is a good entry point, but be aware that chances are, statistically speaking, it won't be. Fast forward 2 weeks, the market ran up, had no further movements. I told you on the podcast that we had hit targets, that we had raised our stops, so that all of our positions were now profitable and we'd raised stops to protect our capital. In the last week, all of those positions have been stopped out. So we're back into a heavy cash position, whatever that means for you as an investor. You got to figure that out. What would heavy cash be? I don't know. For an aggressive guy who never wants to sell anything, maybe 25% cash. For a conservative guy, maybe 75% cash. I have some accounts that are 100% cash. So you got to figure out what it means to you. But when these algorithms tell you that the risks are high, you better believe it's time to look at your portfolio and start protecting your assets. Prune the tree, get rid of bad investments, book profits, raise stops. So instead of panicking and not knowing what to do as the market plummets right now, this is beautiful. Like every day the market goes lower, we just build in alpha to our performance this year. And we're looking for our next risk on entry point. So this last risk on entry, I said to you, this is a very dangerous entry. Be careful. The next one might be a great entry. I might say, hey, we're going to hit this double barrel, full loaded. We're ready to go. But right now, it's dangerous. If you're following me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report. I put out there yesterday that our Dow position was 100% quote cash or risk off. The day before, we were stopped out of the S&P position. If you recall, we never got into the big cap tech position, right? Our algorithms wouldn't let us buy the NASDAQ 100. Saved us a ton of heartache. We got stopped out of the small caps a couple days ago. Everything is telling us to be conservative, be defensive. I also highlighted, I don't know what day this was, maybe it was sometime a week or two ago on the call, and so it bears repeating. I said, look, the most dangerous time to own stocks is when the 200-day moving average and the 50-day moving average are in downtrends. So you're hearing today about everyone talking about the death cross. When the 50 goes below the 200-day, which it's done on the small cap index. But I submit to you that when everybody sees and knows something, it becomes less and less valuable. So I'm going to share with you a piece of information off of the trading desk that not a lot of people talk about. And that is that when the 50 and the 200 day are both in downtrends together, that's when it's time for you to be defensive. Telling you to be defensive in small caps after a 15% decline from the peaks isn't very helpful. So the death cross doesn't really help you much. But our algorithms helped you on the 24th of September when we say, get out of Dodge. And for almost a month now, the 50 and the 200 have been in a downtrend for small caps. So you know you're in trouble. Now we've got that problem going on in the S&P 500. For 20 trading days, I think it's up to 20 trading days now. Let me see if that's right. How many trading days is it? Pull it up on the chart here. That's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I misspoke. 16 days. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 24 days, the S&P has a downtrend in the 50-day moving average for 24 days, and for 16 days, both the S&P's 50 and 200-day moving averages are in downtrends. And what I've said to you on this podcast repeatedly in the last 2 weeks is that the most dangerous time to own stocks is when the 50 and the 200-day are going down together. Now, obviously, it gets worse when the 50 goes below the 200-day. That's when you might get some real dislocations. But the time to be defensive has been for the last couple weeks. And nothing has changed on our algorithms. People talk about news stories, and there's so many pieces of news coming at you. What pieces of news should change the approach? There's no piece of news right now that's going to help out this market. All of it's noise right now. The only thing I care about is what the central bank is doing. As long as the Fed keeps raising rates, and quite frankly, I think this market may suffer right up until the Fed announcement in December. We know they're going to raise rates. What do they say on that call? Do they say we're done and 2019 will take a break? The market probably bottoms there. We get a great buy opportunity. If they say we're not done and we're going to raise rates another 3 or 4 times next year, then we have a protracted bear market that we're in. Look, we're already in a bear market on some of the biggest cap technology names that were the leaders in the last cycle. When the leaders get destroyed and small caps get destroyed, you don't need a postcard from your Aunt Rose. Or how's that go? Aunt Rose is dead? Something like that? You don't need it. I really botched that, didn't I? somebody tweet me or send me an email telling me what that quote is. I forget. But we are really in a vortex of a dangerous market right now. So this gets me to my next comment. You all watching me on Twitter know I tweeted a little bit earlier that for the first time in a long time, I am short the market. Now, you all know that I'm building a list of rules of the road that I've learned over 30 years on the high seas, and I'm sharing it with you. I'm building this list for my 2-year-old and my 5-year-old. The 2-year-old son, daughter, 5-year-old son. And when they're 18, I'm going to hand them this book of investing knowledge that I've amassed. And I'm going to share that information with you between now and then. And so I'm building this list for you. And one of the rules on the list is there's a step between long and short. This is rule number 7. There's a step between long and short, and it's called cash. We were aggressively long, running up right into the beginning of October, and we went to cash. I did not short the first leg down the market. And that rule saves a lot of money over a 10-year bull market. But now we have the first rally off of the low that's failed. That's one. We have the 50 and 200-day in downtrends. That's two. We have the death cross in the small cap index. That's a distant three. We have the most dangerous time in the market right now. And I started putting shorts out yesterday when the market rally failed. I had a great early trade. I told you yesterday on the call that when the markets are going down big like this, and the volatility is enormous, I begin day trading because there's some beautiful trades intraday where you can make a lot of money on the long side when the market's getting whacked. And particularly, I look for days where the market's down 1% on the S&P and down over 2% on the Qs, and I look to start finding entry points because I've got alpha, and I want to book that alpha. So if the market rockets back to the highs of the day, I'm going to make money. And I'm willing to take a small loss if the market keeps plummeting. Yesterday, I got just a beautiful entry point. The entry point was at 10.12. Paid $167.52 for the Qs. And within an hour, we were selling those Qs out at, $169.30 from 167.50. That was a nice couple point move. And I expected the market to really trade higher the rest of the day yesterday, and it just failed miserably. I thought we'd get back to the 200-day moving average yesterday. We didn't. And so now we're getting real weakness in a type of a market where the 250-day are in downtrends. This is a major problem. Now, it doesn't mean that at any moment the market can't rocket back to the 200-day. It might. But now is the time for me to put a little bit short out. I'm not saying you should do that. I think shorting is a professional's game. I think shorting is very dangerous for the individual investor. And I think, quite frankly, it's better to just have cash and wait for your next buy opportunity and go play some golf right now and don't look at the market. But if you're sitting there trading every day, all day, now's the time where I finally start putting some money out short. All right, let's move over to rule number 3 today. It's a very important rule on my list of investing axioms that I've learned over 30 years in the high seas of doing this. Get a pen and a piece of paper. You can write this down. Every investment decision that I make on my trading desk begins and ends with the following thoughts. 1, will this action put me on the right side of statistics and probabilities? And 2, is the reward potential from here worth the risk I'm taking? That's rule number three. Every decision should come from that angle. Is this action going to put me on the right side of probability and statistics? Let me give you an example. If the markets are up, let's say the S&P is up 1% at the open, and you're panicked to go buy your assets because you think the market's going to be up big that day, realize that it's rare, statistically speaking, that the S&P is up more than 1% at the end of the day. It happens, but how much? How often is the market up 2 or 3% at the end of the day? Just think about it, the S&P. It's rare. So if you're running out there and buying it, you're putting yourself on the wrong side of probabilities and statistics. You're putting yourself on the right side of emotions and greed, but that never makes money in the long term. Don't get on the wrong side of probabilities and statistics. Take your time and make sure you're on the right side. And then the next thought is the reward big enough from here for me to make this trade? Even if I'm on the right side of probabilities, if it just goes up a little bit, that's not enough for me. I don't want to put the money at risk. I got to think I'm going to get seriously paid before I do this. That's rule number three. It's a very important rule. Do all your homework, come up with all the ideas, all the things you want to do, get all excited about your investment idea. But before you commit capital, ask yourself that question. Am I buying something low? Am I selling it high? Or am I doing the opposite? Am I buying high and selling low because I'm on the wrong side of probability statistics and I'm not getting paid on the investments when I'm right? Let's move over to MJ real quick. You know, I'm a big proponent of MJ. I tweeted out today, hashtag Armor Report, that our algorithms got us out of the marijuana stocks yesterday. Of course, today, MJ's down 4%. Tilray's down 6%. CGC's down 10%. ACB's down 8%. I mean, it's a complete bloodbath in the space. So we've traded this MJ a couple times. We bought it at 27 back in the middle of August and had a huge run. We were up 50% on the position in 5 weeks. We booked profits in the 40s. Then the asset came down into the 29 area and we bought positions back. It rocketed higher into the high 30s. Then it came back down just a little bit above where we owned it and we had to get out of the position. No harm to the net worth. Protected our portfolio. Disappointing, though, that we had to exit because you know how much I love this space. I think fundamentally it's a big win. The company's all announced earnings. I love when the algorithm helps us temper our enthusiasm and it dovetails with a fundamental situation that really makes sense. And in this case, there's so much hype around the marijuana stocks right now that everyone's looking for earnings to be blowout. And of course, they all disappointed. Of course, they're going to disappoint. Nothing's really happened yet in the space. It's early in the process. It's early in the cannabis investment cycle. There's no way they're going to be able to blow out numbers right now. They're ramping up spending to get ready for the rollout over the next year or two all across the world of recreational use of cannabis. Come on, people. Anybody selling the stocks because, quote, earnings weren't good enough, it's ridiculous. You don't understand the story at all. For the rest of us who understand the story, this selling's beautiful. We're in cash with that part of our portfolio, and we're waiting for the opportunity. I cannot wait to buy Canopy. Constellation Brands put $4 billion into this company and people are upset because they missed the quarter? What a gift. I just hope that stock sells off even more. Maybe down to 29 or 30 bucks to the 200-day moving average. God, I would love a risk-on entry point to show up there. Stock's down 10% because they missed the number? Give me a break. Constellation Brands put $4 billion into the company in August because they're going to roll out beverage that includes THC and cannabis oil, CBD oil. Come on. This could be a huge winner over the next couple of years. Huge. God, I love when investors are short-sighted. It gives us opportunity. So what we've had, just to wrap up real quick on the cannabis story, fundamentally nothing's changed. This is an earnings announcement season for all of these names. Obviously, they all underwhelmed because they're ramping up spending, getting ready for sales. The earnings story is 6 to 12 months out. And what we're trying to do is get involved in this space before a boatload of institutional investing begins. So we use the algorithms to temper our enthusiasm. We raised cash yesterday to protect our asset base. We wait for the next risk on signal, and we keep perspective during earnings season. While everyone else is losing their head, we realize it's completely normal. The average selling price for Canopy's products are going up. Their margins are expanding. This is going to be a phenomenal investment idea over time. And we'll just use our algorithms to tell us when to put capital to work. Here's another idea that's getting destroyed that deserves some attention again. Energy stocks have been destroyed. The pipeline stocks are my favorite way to play it. AMLP is the ETF of the pipelines. It's paying 11%. The yield is 11%. Even after costs on AMLP, you're collecting 10% in dividends on these pipelines. And they go down when the price of oil goes down, which is ridiculous. These guys keep making money regardless of whether or not the price of oil goes down on a month-to-month basis. And they're going to keep pumping out dividends. But I do think it's interesting to note that we're getting a real dislocation in the energy market having to do with a pair trade that's unwinding. This is not because there's too much oil on the market and Iran this and Saudi Arabia that. And I'm sure that's, you know, some of it. But the real issue is an unwind in the hedge fund business between oil and natural gas. Natural gas prices have exploded higher, creating an unwind in a trade. And they're beating up pipeline stocks? What a gift. 10% yield? At some point in here, I'm going to be long that asset. I'll let you know when. Okay? So I wish you all the best in trading. I want you to be safe out there. It is dangerous right now. Be defensive, whatever that means. Be defensive. Follow the Armor Report on Twitter. I will be sure to share with you when we are putting risk capital back to work on the long side. Until then, have a safe day trading, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, y'all.